Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, Frances Reeder. Frances, who was a friend of many in this community and also in Centralia and other places as well, and a relative of many who are gathered here as well, and certainly a big part of our congregation here at Trinity. But of course, as we gather together today, we don't gather as those who have no hope. But as we mourn in the hope and the comfort of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. It was really important to Frances that this would be an upbeat, encouraging service today. And so that's going to be our goal. Just so you know, everything that you're going to need, except for the words to the hymns, is printed for you on the blue bulletin. So hopefully you got one of those as you came into the church today. And then the words to the hymns will be in the burgundy-colored hymnals, which are in front of you in your pew. We're going to begin with the first hymn that Frances chose for our service today, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And you may be seated as we sing the hymn. Please stand for our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Frances was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We'll continue our service now by reciting the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Francis and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today comes from Psalm 37. This also includes Francis's confirmation verse, various verses beginning with verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our epistle reading is from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Alleluia, Alleluia, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To Him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our Holy Gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith, the same words of faith that Francis confessed with us numerous times. Today we will use the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is also the hymn that was assigned to Francis's confirmation class in 1948. It is "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want," number 710. To the family and friends of Francis Reeder, to those of you who are gathered here today to celebrate her life of faith as well as to mourn its earthly end, to all of you who on this day are experiencing a mixture of joy and sorrow as we say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As a pastor, one of the things that happens to me pretty often is I end up on these occasions all the time to have lots of short conversations with people. And a lot of times they happen in like rapid fire succession, like one conversation after the next, after the next, after the next. And actually funerals are one of those events where that happens quite often, especially once we go out to the graveside and then end up in the activity center, in the gymnasium. We have a luncheon. I'm looking forward to getting to visit with many of you who are gathered here today. But it's probably also not a surprise that it's Sunday morning, usually. That's where I have most of the opportunity to talk with lots of people. That's where I talk to the most people for probably the shortest amount of time, unfortunately. There's just usually so many people who want to come and talk with me, and lots of check-ins before the service or after the service and things like that. Usually what happens is you try to cover all the pastoral bases in maybe 20 or 30 seconds, you know, how you doing, how's your family, how you feeling, you know, how's work going, those kinds of things. But I can honestly say that out of all of those dozens of conversations that I might have with people, short mini conversations on any given Sunday, I think one of the things that I'm going to miss the most about Francis Reeder were the conversations that she and I would have right before Bible class almost every Sunday. They were conversations that I really looked forward to, conversations that I personally really, really enjoyed. And I was sitting in my office and I was sort of reflecting on that, thinking about preparing for the service today and thinking about some of those conversations and why it is that they were so meaningful to me. And I came to the realization that it's because almost every single time we would talk, she was just so encouraging to me personally. Her words made it very clear that she cared about me as an individual. She cared about my family. She cared about how life and ministry was going here at Trinity in Hoyleton. You know, one of her signature things that she would do is, probably not just here at church, but I'm guessing in other aspects of her life as well, is she always liked to show up early to things. So she always tended to be, you know, the first person to arrive, one of the first people here every Sunday. You know, we'd be getting ready and preparing, and she'd be here at least a half hour before Bible study even began. And she would sit right there in that pew, and she would read the entire bulletin from front to back. So usually by the time I had a chance to go over and say hi to her and see how things were going, she already knew exactly what was going to be taking place in the church and the school for that coming week and beyond. And so she would use that information to ask me about how I was feeling about things and if I was ready for things and just wanting to make sure that I knew that she supported me and she was going to be praying for me. And sometimes I would try to change the subject and get her to talk about herself a little bit and how she was feeling, but she made it very clear she didn't want to really talk about that. She wanted to talk about how she could support and encourage me. And I really do believe that one of the reasons that God put her there bright and early every Sunday was to give me a spark of encouragement to get my Sunday morning off on the right foot almost every single weekend. I'm going to really miss that a lot. And I know that many of you have had similar interactions with Francis over the years. Over the last couple days, one of the most common comments that people have made to me about Francis is that they're really going to miss all of the greeting cards that she would write for birthdays and anniversaries. You'd go out to your mailbox, and you would know right away if it was a Francis card because she had that really, you know, signature, cursive, neat handwriting, you know. So you knew it was a Francis card right away. And you'd open that up, and it always just bring a smile to your face, right? Even if you're having a bad day, you get that card, and it just kind of changes everything. It's just like she never wanted to miss an opportunity to encourage people with her words, with spoken words or written words or all of the above. She just really liked to do that. And I think that's a real breath of fresh air in the world that we live in today, where I think sometimes people are not very careful with their words, and sometimes people are kind of discouraging sometimes with the way they speak to one another. And then on top of that, we know some of the struggles that Frances herself was dealing with. And we know that if she was the type of person that spent all her time thinking and dwelling on those things, then maybe she wouldn't have been so encouraging. But that's not how she was. You know, it's obvious to everybody over these last few years that she would walk with this really serious limp, and she was probably always in more pain than she would let on. And of course, we also know that for the last almost 30 years, she lived as a widow after her husband Eldon had passed away at an unexpectedly young age. And we don't have to focus on all of those things today, because we know that Frances's earthly life wasn't perfect, just like we know that all of our lives aren't perfect. We're not perfectly free from suffering in this world. Right? We know that we all deal with the broken world that we live in. We don't have to look any further than this casket to understand the cloud of death that surrounds and threatens all of us. But I think that is what makes the encouraging words of Frances even more encouraging. When you consider the darkness that at times surrounded her and all of us, those words are a light that were delivered into that darkness. A light that shined from within her, a light that shined when she sat in that pew, a light that shined when she was working on the farm as a young woman, a light that shined when she was in the office at Trinity Centralia as the church secretary for many years, a light that shined when she worked at Kleeman Auction and Appraisal Service, where she worked up until just a few months ago. But we also know that the light that shone through her did not come from her. The light that shone in her came first from heaven, in the person of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Frances about her funeral and how she envisioned this day would go. And, you know, she was really adamant that she wanted to make sure that you all heard, more than anything else, the words of her confirmation verse that she kept close to her heart all her life after being given that verse by Reverend Wright back in 1948. The verse, just that one verse, is printed on the cover of the bulletin up at the top. And it's not the King James Version that I'm sure she had memorized all those years, but the message is the same from Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we really take a moment to think about what this verse really means, then it suddenly becomes a little bit more clear how it was possible for Frances to be so positive and upbeat, even when she happened to be struggling with some things personally. Living life as a Christian, the source of her delight, the source of our delight, is not going to be in the things of this world. But the delight comes in the Lord, just like this verse says. And she really took that to heart. And if that's the case for any of us, then what that means is all of a sudden the bad things don't seem so bad after all, because we're able to put them into a different perspective. We know that the Lord has us in his hands. We know that he's in control. We know that he has promised us a life that is so much greater than the life that we experience here and now in this broken world. So in that verse, it also says that that God will give us the desires of our hearts. And again, we're not talking about earthly stuff here, right? We're not talking about God giving us and us hoping in earthly riches or good health or all of these temporary blessings that we tend to focus on here and now. But for those who trust in the Lord, the ultimate desires of our hearts are to simply live in God's heavenly kingdom forever and ever. To see him face to face, to never feel the effects of the brokenness in this world ever again, to be where Francis is right now. Now that's a word of encouragement, if I've ever heard one. And that's a word of encouragement that was assigned to Francis as a young woman and stayed with her the rest of her life, even up to her last moments as her body was getting weaker, as her physical death seemed imminent. She knew that death was simply the doorway to eternal life. Those were the true desires of her heart by faith in Jesus Christ. So now here we are, gathered together for this funeral, and we know that on this side of heaven, we're not going to be able to have those encouraging conversations with Francis again. We're not going to be able to go out to the mailbox and see a Francis card awaiting us there anymore. And maybe that leaves us feeling a little bit discouraged today, or feeling like maybe we need one of those pep talks again. Maybe we feel like we need somebody to come and show us that they support us and they care about us. But I'm here to tell you today that you already have that person. In fact, what you have is actually three persons in one. You have the Holy Trinity working together to remind you that you belong to him and he will never leave you or forsake you. You have a heavenly Father who created everything in this universe, created you, and cares about you enough as an individual to provide for you still and to protect you from the powers of sin and death and the devil. And you have the Son of God, who came into this world to die on the cross, to take away all of your sin and my sin, to pay the punishment that you and I owed to God. Jesus Christ, who rose again on Easter and proved that death was destroyed forever, so that all of us who believe in him and belong to him, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you have the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter and the encourager, the one who brings you to faith and then also strengthens that faith and sustains that faith through his word. And the same Holy Spirit who lived in the heart of Francis for 86 years of earthly life and who often used her words to bring comfort and encouragement to other people, that same Holy Spirit dwells within you right now and brings comfort and encouragement to you today. That Holy Spirit is going to continue to shine light into the darkness of this world until the day when the Lord returns and darkness itself will be destroyed forever, the day when all of us will finally receive the true desires of our heart by faith forever. So my prayer for all of us is that we would all be encouraged by God's promises of eternal life and salvation, and that we would all be able to bravely face whatever comes our way, knowing that we are in his hands, and we always will be, that we would all delight ourselves in the Lord, and he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Francis Reeder and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Francis, and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. As Frances was planning her funeral service, it was important to her that we would get to hear a special song right before the benediction. This was a song that our mixed choir had sung years ago, and she was hoping that our mixed choir would be able to sing it today. Of course, because of COVID, our mixed choir hasn't even been rehearsing lately. But we have a recording that we're going to listen to of a choir singing, "Lord, I Stretch My Hands to You." Please stand for the benediction. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is "On Eagle's Wings," number 727.